The president has delivered the State of the Union. What did you hear that you liked and what didn't you hear? Also, let's talk about the online ageism going on these days. I got a few things to say about it. And why do I watch shows that I should actually hate?
Uncensored, unfiltered, unhinged. It's the Karellcast. Listen daily on your favorite streaming service.
The state of our union is. It is the Karellcast. I am Karell. So very glad you are joining me. Oh, that camera needs to back itself up a little. Back up, child. Back up. You no need to see the burn on my face, which is still there, of course, from the removal of the actinic keratosis. In a testicle update, not mine, I'm sure you're all riveted about that. In a testicle update, the gentleman who was stung on the testes at the Venetian has already found a lawyer and they have already filed a lawsuit. I reported on it two days ago. Bam, within 2 days. I did my show Wednesday afternoon. Right now it's Friday morning. That literally like 30 hours, he found himself an attorney and he's going to sue the Venetian for his testes being tested. I hate to laugh. I mean, it had to hurt. He said he was stung 3 times. Ow! How many testicles does he have? Anyway, that's not for us to know. He could be a birth defect. You never know. All right. So last night, Thursday night at, and don't forget, by the way, this weekend, spring forward this weekend. It's Oscar weekend. The Oscars start at 4, which means they really start at 3 because 3 becomes 4. But Saturday night, before you go to bed, if you have any clock, how many of you actually have clocks you have to change? Everyone uses their phone now. So it's like, your phone will just change. I have 31 clocks. Andrew used to collect clocks and I couldn't get rid of any. And I said clocks, by the way. And that's when you change the batteries and everything, your smoke detectors and all of your clocks and everything. Change the batteries, child. So this weekend we sprung forward into spring. It's coming. Spring is coming. And last night, the president gave the State of the Union. Now, the right wing used it as a chance to look how old he is. He can barely speak or he made a mistake or blah, 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 blah. You know, and I already said what I said about that. Ageism is ridiculous. Even MSNBC is on the ageism thing. Today, ageism is a theme. I think it's bullshit, quite frankly. Yes, I think that I would have liked a younger candidate, but he's what we've got, and I'm not going to disqualify him because he's 81 years old, when Trump is 77. Okay, so come on, But the State of the Union, it's first of all, the president doesn't have to deliver it, as you know. All he has to do is send a letter up to Congress, and several presidents have. They've just sent a quick note, everything's fine. that's pretty much that. You don't have to go and do the big speech and be paraded down front. You know, that doesn't have to happen. But it does. And it is good theatrics. And they often put people up in the galley that they would like to, show off or talk about. Maybe people that do a particular agenda of theirs. You know, our healthcare plan is working. See, here we have the mother of 12 who, that sort of thing. So it's good for them, but, it's all theatrics. And given that it's all theatrics, I wish a president would come out and actually talk. I watched Fran Drescher interview Barbara Streisand. I'm very Jewish at this moment. I watched them talk. They talk about their accomplishments. They talk about the evils they have to vanquish. We must vanquish these evils. It's supposed to instill in us sort of like a status report of the United States and also that, hey, there they are and they're fit to do the job. Yeah. So no president has ever gone into a State of the Union and pleased everybody in their party. Or in the opposing party. Okay. That's you just can't do it. And given America right now, if I had to deliver the State of the Union, It would be highly rated. I'll tell you that right now. If I had to, because I would just walk up and go, ladies and gentlemen, the state of our union is fucked. For instance, you all are complaining about my age. Meanwhile, there is a 77-year-old rapist with 91 felony counts against him, including insurrection and stealing classified documents and perhaps selling them to the Saudis. But you seem to think because I'm 81 that he is in some way more capable of running the United States when he nearly ran it off a cliff for 4 years when he was president. Now, I understand, ladies and gentlemen, your concerns. After all, you don't pay much attention to politics anymore unless it's on Threads, X, Instagram, or TikTok. So perhaps I should be giving you the State of the Union address in 60-second intervals that you could then post to your TikTok so all of the idiots out there with a keyboard could argue about whether the sky is blue or not. See, this is the State of the Union I would give. This is how I would give the state. And I mean it. I would say, listen, y'all are complaining about grocery prices and you're blaming me for it. Now, it's true, I don't go to the grocery store and I haven't been in decades. However, I am well aware of what's going on, and I will tell you, it ain't me, okay? I do not set your grocery prices. You know who does? And I would point these seven companies right here. And so we are going to call the owners of all of these companies into Congress, and we are going to ask them why they're raping you at the grocery store. And if they don't have a good answer, we're going to enact legislation to make it so they can't charge you their prices. That's right. In my State of the Union address tonight, I am pledging to you that I will cap all grocery store profits and food profits at 11% because no one should have to worry about putting food in their mouth since everybody needs to eat. And no one should become a billionaire providing food for anyone. If you want to be a billionaire, sell stupid trucks and dumb cars that fall apart to other rich people. But if you want to make $1 billion, do not sell produce, fresh fruits, beans, and wheat to the American people. Because you don't deserve to be billionaires, because to do so, you have to charge the American people too much money and make them too stressed about food. So my first pledge here in my very first State of the Union is that I am going to make sure that grocery companies and food manufacturers do not make any more than 11% profits above their cost. Period. End of story. Now, let's move on to... See, that's because that's how I would just... In my State of the Union, I would go snap, 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 snap. Now, let's move on to media. Media in America is filled with disinformation. Social media is filled with hatred and disinformation. So effective immediately, I am going to enact a new fairness doctrine. And in this new fairness doctrine, it will make every social media company responsible for the content they put on their site. And if it is incorrect, and if it is factually wrong, and if it is just opinion, then it either has to be labeled as such or taken down. Period. There will be no more fake information spread on social media, or the social media companies will be fined and charged for every post that they put up. I am also going to ask the FCC to revoke every license that Fox News, OAN, and Newsmax has for over-the-air broadcasting. Because in America, we don't do the kind of journalism that they do. That was in World War II, and her name was Tokyo Rose. Here in America, if you're gonna call yourself a news channel, you better just say the news. And if it's not factual, you'll be pulled off the air. Period. Just end of story. Oh, the things I would go into. I would stand at that stage and I would just look right out. I'd look right out at them all and say, I am also going to go to Congress with a bill. I have a congressional leader right here ready to sponsor a bill that makes abortion
yours. Listen daily to the Carellcast on your favorite streaming service. You're listening to the Carellcast, driving you home or driving you crazy.
I got so wrapped up in what I would say, I ran over. Sorry about that. But really, because I see the State of the Union as easily fixed. It just takes a bold leader and a Senate or a Congress to fix it. I would immediately say in my State of the Union that I am going to expand the Supreme Court to 13 justices. Period. Just as of tomorrow. I have a congressional leader right here. We are going to introduce legislation to expand the Supreme Court to 13 justices, effective immediately. And my first three that I'm going to put on the court, Michelle Obama, Oprah, and I don't know, pick a third. I don't know. Michelle and Oprah, and one other one. Why not? But I would immediately expand the Supreme Court. And I would say so during my State of the Union. I would immediately do it. Trump will, when he gets in, Trump will expand it and put, you know, more judges on that are horrible. So I just want a president, be a Democratic president, to be as forceful, proactive, and productive as Republicans seem to be. Because when Reagan gets in, when, you know, Bush got in, when Trump gets in, they are able to do so much evil in 4 or 8 years. Launch wars, kill thousands of people, destroy the economy, set civil rights back hundreds of years. So why, for the love of all things holy, when a Democrat gets in, are they able to accomplish basically nothing? Now, I know Biden's got a great agenda, but meanwhile, in Tennessee, they're saying that if you are objectionable to same-sex marriage, you don't have to perform the marriages. That sets us back. They're making anti-trans, anti-gay, all these different laws across the country. Why are they allowed to do that, and yet no one on the side of good, on the side of right, is able to get good and right things passed? It makes no sense. Is evil more powerful than good? It just would appear so. It would. And, you know, I was going to do an online ageism topic that plays right into the presidency. Because some woman, she said, all men should have to wear suits, period, end. They look better in them, they're sexy, and that's just the way it is. And under it, I said, actually, suits are horrible for men. They were a 20th century construct to tie them. A tie is a leash to a corporate overlord. And somehow, your credibility as an author, as a lot of things, is determined by whether you're in a suit or not. Suits are horrible. They're a horrible construct for men. Men, look at award shows. Women get to wear all kinds of fabulous fashion, and yet 95% of the men show up in a tux. Oh, it might have a little variation, a checkered bow tie or something, but it's a tux. So women can wear just a variety of anything or nothing. And men have to show up covered from neck to ankle to wrist in a tux. When I went on CNN, they used to be upset that I didn't wear a suit. Well, you're not going to be taken seriously without a suit. Really? So I posted under there, you know, suits are actually not a great thing. And while some men are sexy in them, what they represent to me and to millions of others is more like a leash or a chain. Oh, she got so upset. Just once, I'd like to post something with like bitter-aged white boomers, bitter middle-aged men, bitter boomers, bitter boomers. I am so sick of young people calling boomers like an insult that I want to smack the shit out of their smug little young faces, because I guess they don't think they ever going to be old. Okay? I guess these kids online nowadays, the Gen Zs, the millennials, I guess they don't realize their ass is going to get old like everybody else's, and it's going to happen that fast. And suddenly, their opinions and their views and their looks are going to be diminished and demeaned because of their age. You know what? Technically, I am a boomer. I was born in 62. I identify with Gen X, but technically, I'm a boomer. And if you want to disparage me for that, fuck you. I have lived through many wars from Vietnam on up. I have lived through two Bushes, a Reagan, a Ford, and a Trump. I have survived AIDS and every epidemic that has come along in the last 61 years. And you want to disparage me because I'm 61 years old and have an opinion and share it? It's the same with Joe Biden. Yes, it's easy to say he's too old and you know, maybe he shouldn't be running. And I've said those very things. But look what the man has gone through. If there's anybody that can render a sane opinion about, but he's out of touch. Is he? My friend Oscar is 94. He ain't out of touch. I have many friends in their 60s and 70s who are computer savvy, phone savvy, who know the latest music, who stay informed by the news. You know, just because you're old doesn't mean you're gone or irrelevant or dead or that you should be consigned to that, you know, top shelf of life where you're barely taken off and dusted. You know, sitcom stars in the 80s that we grew up with, like the Golden Girls and all of that, they were in their 50s and they seemed old. The dads on 80s sitcoms seemed really old, but a majority of them were in their 40s and 50s. We have changed the definition of old. Cher is 77. She's out touring. Diana Ross is about to be 80. She's out touring. You know, Madonna, 65, and she's slaying them in the aisles. You know, I mean, we have changed as healthcare has changed and as media has changed. We have changed what it is to be old. And the notion that you become irrelevant because you're a boomer or to group all boomers. Are these young assholes aware that it's we boomers who are responsible for a majority of the world in which they live? Who invented the iPhone? A boomer. Who invented social media? Yes, it was young people that like Zuckerberg and the like, but who invented the technology? They're boomers. They're now old. They were young then, and you know, in the 80s and 70s and such. But now the very people that developed the technology that these young people use are now in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. So are they irrelevant? Would Steve Jobs be irrelevant had he lived? So this online ageism must be fought. I want you to fight it every time. If you see the comments, if you get a comment about, oh, okay, boomer, I want you to smack back at these smug little young assholes and give them the what for. Let them know that being a boomer is a badge of honor, especially for a gay man. I have lived through beatings, through people like Matthew Shepard being hung on fences, through raids of gay bars, through, you know, being dragged behind cars and burned, not being able to get married, not literally to where cops could just beat you and a court would do nothing. I have lived through not being able to get married, not being able to go back and see your partner if they were sick. I've lived through all of that. And these young queens want to tell me something? Bite me, doughboy. Ageism. And we're all guilty of it. I'm guilty of it with Biden. You know what? I've never met the man. The only American president I haven't met. Maybe if I met him, I'd think, well, so what if he's old? He's got it. He's together. He's with it. Does he forget things? I forget things. You forget things. But are his opinions still valid? Is his wisdom still needed? Well, just as much as anyone online's is. And by the way, I said this the other day to someone that was out. Her grandfather, we were at Hoover Dam, and the grandfather was telling the young girl, no, don't go that way. We go this way, blah, 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 blah. And she was all, no. And I looked and I said, listen to old people. They know better. You know, even when I was young, when I was in my 20s and 30s, I always listened to old people because they did know better. They had more experience about life. And were some irrelevant or like their views antiquated? Yes. But just like there's differences in young people and their education, there's differences in older people. You know, not all older people are crotchety old bitter people who want to go back to a time of Ozzy and Harriet. You know, some of us older people want progress, want the future that we were promised. If you're a baby boomer, you were promised flying cars, an equal society, you know, basically a utopia. We've been promised that our whole lives, never delivered. And we still want it. At least I do. I want the Jetsons kind of life. When we come back, why do I watch shows that I should hate? Why do you? I bet you do. I bet you watch a few shows that you probably shouldn't. You should probably hate them. Why do you watch them? We'll figure it out. Or not. Maybe we'll just decide, hey, that's what we do.
If you're not visiting reallycorrell.com daily, you're missing out. Get the podcast, videos, and the blog, including recipes at reallycorrell.com. That's really, K-A-R-E-L.com. It's broadcasting from a completely different point of view. Yours. Listen daily to the Corellcast on your favorite streaming service. You're listening to the Corellcast. Driving you home or driving you crazy.
You know, I watch a bunch of television shows that I should hate. And I wonder why I do. And I wonder if you do this too. Or maybe you follow a celebrity or a singer that you probably should hate, but you watch it, you like them, you listen to it. Case in point, about a week ago, Paramount Plus, I was watching something and the last episode played. And so they'll often play a show that's kind of related to the show you were watching. So NCIS started playing. Now, I had seen some episodes back in the day, so I kind of knew who everybody was, you know, Gibbs and Abby and McGee and, of course, D'Annunzio. I knew them and Kate and then Ziva. So I watched enough of it to know, but I basically watched it when Ziva was on the show, and I kind of didn't know about Kate because she leaves in season two in a very shocking cliffhanger where she's shot and killed. And if I'm telling you anything you don't know, the show's 20 years old. So if you haven't by now, you know. But anyway, so I was watching it and there was a very transphobic episode in season one where they called the trans person a he-she. They made fun of Tony for kissing him, or her, I'm sorry. And she had had the surgery, so she was a full trans woman. And of course, they made her to be this psycho killer. And they received so much flack about that episode that in season two, I'm told by the internet, they actually tried to do episodes where they were nice about pronouns and where they were good, about these things. But then in season two, and season one, there's like three very homophobic episodes where they say just homophobic things, or they make, you know, I can't tell you where I was because I was with another male officer and I'll be kicked out of the Navy. Yes, don't ask, don't tell was a thing, but they make it seem like this person should have shame and should, you know, all this other stuff. So it's been homophobic, it's been transphobic, and last night it was even vegan-phobic. Kate bought them all tofu veggie wraps for lunch, and then she went to bring one to Abby and they all bit into it and threw it away like it was some joke. You know, so vegan phobic, transphobic, homophobic. I should hate NCIS. And I believe with every ounce of fiber in me that Mark Harmon off camera is an asshole because he's a really big one on camera and no one is that good of an actor. So, you know, I really believe that I shouldn't watch this show. I shouldn't like it. You know, it's obviously done from a right wing point of view and there's homophobes and transphobes in the writer's room. And so I shouldn't like it. And yet, I like it. You know, I watch it. I'm like, why are you watching this? There's so many better shows. You could, you know, why do you like this? I love procedurals. And I'm like, why do you watch this procedural? There's so many others. And the sexual harassment in that show, it would just never happen in today's environment. Those shows and those scripts would never be approved in today's world. And so it's like watching a time capsule of all the things wrong with episodic television back in the day, marginalizing women. There's about 100 sexual innuendos in every single episode. So why do I like it? Why do I like Blue Bloods? I've seen every season, and I'm sad that it's the last season. This is a Catholic show, very Catholic. You know, very right-wing morality, very Catholic, you know, very family and very this, and there are no gay members. There's no gay family member. There would have been in a family that big, but no gay family member. Now, it's very white. Why do I watch Blue Bloods? I like it. And Tom Selleck is a right-wing fool, and yet I like the show. I like the family dinners. I like the family camaraderie. I like the procedural. I like it all. I like the show, but I shouldn't. Is there a show that you watch or an entertainer that you watch or something that you do that you probably shouldn't because of your values and your moral beliefs? And yet, like my doctor, I just went to Archwell Health and got a new doctor because it's right across the street, even though I wasn't unhappy with my primary care. And he's an old Catholic doctor. So old that on my first meeting, I was trying to tell him something and he was trying to get, he had to get so close to the screen because he couldn't read it. He's all, hold it, I can't read this. And I thought, oh dear God, he's like ancient and he's wearing a crucifix around his neck. And yet I thought, well, so what? He's my primary care doctor. I'd love a gay doctor, but they're just in Vegas, there aren't any. And so sometimes you find something or you deal with somebody that you probably shouldn't because of your morals or your values, but you sort of put them to the side for a moment. And I don't know why we do that. Do you do that? I draw the line at MAGA. I just, in the park, there's a few people that are MAGA and I say hi to them and we're very cordial because why be, you know, not, but we don't talk politics and I'm certainly not inviting them to dinner. But in the park, I'll say hello and pet their dog and, you know, all of that. So do you watch something, listen to somebody or something that you probably shouldn't because, you know, in a room, if you two were to meet, you would hate each other. I would probably not like the writers or Mark Harmon or many people on NCIS. I probably would not agree. And the same with Blue Bloods. I doubt that I would get along with the whole cast. But I watch it, you know? What about you? Do you watch things that maybe you think, why am I watching this? It goes against everything I stand for. Because I did. I mean, and I don't know why. There's so much entertainment that I can watch that is totally LGBTQ friendly and inclusive and all of that. And yet I watch NCIS or Blue Bloods. It's like, there needs to be a gay procedural. Well, there needs to be a well-made, like Dick Wolf procedural that features gay characters. Even Law & Order SVU, no real gay characters. All of Dick Wolf's Enterprise, I think he's kind of right-wing. I really do. And he's got so many shows, but I never see gay people in his shows and barely see people of color. Ice-T has been the only black cast member on Law & Order SVU for 25 seasons. So why do I watch? I don't know. It's not that there's not other programming. I like it, and I'm willing to put aside. The other night at NCIS, I was screaming. I was like, oh, so now you're going to be homophobic. Can't you do one episode without a bad gay joke? Harmon said to Tony, oh, you look like a gay pirate, about his ears. He said, oh, I'm going to have my earlobes extended. Well, you'll look like a gay pirate. And I thought, why did the writers have to go there? It does, when you watch shows that are much older, it does show how we have had some progress in the modern age. While not all shows are inclusive and diverse and whatever, at least they don't openly bash anymore. So there has been some progress in television. Even on Blue Bloods, they now try to present the other side of the coin. They don't often do it well. So do you watch any show that you think, why am I watching this? This goes against everything I believe. And yet there you are. I'll never watch Tim Allen in anything. Ever, 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 ever. And I'll never watch Roseanne Barr, but, you know, no, she won't ever get a job again. I am Carell. Be who you want to be, so I'm not hurting anybody. See you on Monday. Date of our union is blank. Fill that in down below. The state of our union is... Hey, it's Carell. Amber and I would like to thank you for joining us today and remind you there's a way to never miss a thing, and that's by subscribing right now to my YouTube channel. Just click the subscribe button below or go to youtube.com/reallycarell. That's youtube.com/reallycarell for a world of great free content. And that content is kept free by the fabulous group of patrons at Patreon. Why not become one and show your support for the show? Just $5 a month or more and you're in. Go to patreon.com/reallycorel. That's patreon.com/reallycorel. My website is reallycorel.com and everything fabulous is there, from the show to blog and recipes. Instagram and all social media are, you guessed it, Really Corel. And it couldn't get much easier by simply downloading the free Corelcast app at the app store of your choice. And then all the content from Corel Media will flow right on through. That's the free Corelcast app. Remember, I am Corel. Be who you want to be, so don't let them hurt anybody. And subscribe and participate today.